Flat ranges or field matches, starting a new NRL22 project, and building a dope chart for suppressed or unsuppressed use, this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to other Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday our first question comes from Graham, and Graham asks, what do you prefer, PRS-style shooting on a flat range with man-made obstacles or a field course with natural terrain used to challenge the shooter? Graham, a wise man once said, variety is the spice of life, and I'm kind of the same way in matches. Now, there are pros and cons to both types of matches, and I've shot quite a few of both types of matches. What I find very often is that man-made obstacles on a flat range, like we normally shoot at our local matches here, allow a match to flow very quickly. You can pack a lot of stages into a very small space, and it allows you to rotate squads through really quickly. Additionally, the types and dimensions of the obstacles really is just dependent upon how devious your match director is. They can come up with some really strange things. They can bring cars into the picture, tank traps, cattle grates, pipes, corrugated pipes. I've even seen weightlifting plate racks used as barricades. So there are all kinds of different things you can bring into it. Simulated boats, all this stuff. The difficulty of utilizing obstacles can be much higher on those type of matches. When you look at a field match, now field matches can be very difficult if you are in the right setting, but field matches tend to be limited to what you would normally find if you were out on a hike. So trees, rocks, stumps, different terrain, fences, fence posts, that kind of stuff. So you have a little bit of a narrower group of obstacles that you have to be prepared to address. Now, the last really long-range field match that I shot was several years ago, the Sniper's Hide Cup out in Colville, Washington, and that was a very, very challenging match because not only did you have all those different obstacles, so again, rocks, fence posts, all of that, but you also, it was an unlimited gear match, so you had to drag whatever you thought you needed with you out into the field, and very often you would have to use things like tripods to shoot off of because a target array could be spread out over the entire hillside, and you could start by engaging targets that were up on a ridge line that required you to really aim the rifle up at a pretty high angle, and then your last target might be down in a valley that you have to swing over, and now you have to really depress the muzzle because you're shooting way down into a valley. So those kind of things really challenge the shooter's skill, and they challenge your ability to set up and analyze the target array and decide, okay, I'm going to need to have this set up when I start over here, but by the time I get here, everything needs to be set up in this manner. So they're both very interesting. So again, the flat ranges, they tend to move a lot quicker, so you're getting much more shooting done in the same amount of time. Because field matches tend to be spread out over a much larger section of property. You get less shooting done in a day because you have to deal with the movement. And depending upon the rules of the match and how the terrain's set up, if you're able to drive between firing points or if you have to walk between firing points, it can add a lot of fatigue in, which also ups the difficulty. Now, in either side of things, the difficulty of the stages really comes down to how creative your match director is. The match director makes or breaks the match. He can make it really super difficult, or he can throw in, you know, a bunch of meatball stages. It just depends on which direction he wants to go. So personally, I like shooting both. I tend to know which match directors set up the kind of matches that I like. So when I see their name come up in association with a field match or in association with a flat range match, I know, okay, that's going to be a pretty good match. I still obviously go out and shoot just odd matches from time to time. Apparently not here in the last year. I've been sticking pretty close to home for the last year. But I will be getting out there a little bit more, hopefully, next year when things settle down a little bit for us. So hopefully I'll be able to get out and shoot some more recent field matches because, again, they're a lot of fun. I usually end up carrying a little bit of extra gear. You have to plan for water, snacks, all that stuff. And you have to plan not to be able to supply out of a car. You have to plan to be able to supply out of your pack. I'm very used to carrying a pack and dealing with my own needs out of my pack throughout an entire day or an entire week. It's not something that would keep me away from a field match, but I realize some people don't want to throw all their stuff on their back. I see a lot of, for instance, three-gun matches, and even down into some of the handgun matches that I've seen, guys are starting to bring these big wheeled carts because they don't want to carry stuff on their back. So that is something to consider if you want to shoot a field match or a flat range where you can generally pull your car right up to the firing line and work out of the back of your car. So that's my opinion, but again, I want to hear from you guys. Do you prefer flat range matches or do you prefer field matches? And why do you prefer the difference between the two? Have you shot one lately that you really like that you think other guys should check out? Please drop a comment down below in the comments section. And the next question comes from Joaquim. And Joaquim asks, taking your learnings with you, what would you do if you could start a new NRL 22 project from scratch? That's a great question. And I am actually, as I mentioned in our last mail call Mondays, I'm actually working on a series where we are going to start with a rig and demonstrate what we need to do to set up a rifle for NRL 22, NRL 22X, PRS 22, the rimfire competitions, because there are some things that you wouldn't necessarily think about if you just have a regular backyard plinking 22 that I found going forward really is important reaching out. So you guys that are interested in the long range 22 competition, you'll definitely want to check that series out. And our next question comes from Antonio, and he asks, do you build a separate dope chart for suppressed or just know your offset for POI? Well, Antonio, it's really going to depend upon the individual rifle. So what I generally do is if I have a rifle that I shoot suppressed for competition, I usually always shoot that rifle with the suppressor on for competition. So I have one dope chart built for the gun. I generally don't even shoot it if I don't have the suppressor put on it. However, if you were going to build a rifle to do both, say you wanted a rifle that you could shoot at home with the suppressor on it, and then the next state over, say suppressors were banned, so you would have to take the suppressor off to go shoot a match in the neighboring jurisdiction. For that, there are a couple of ways you can approach this. Now, I have rifles that with the suppressor on and with the suppressor off, they shoot the same zero. So for those rifles, I'm not really seeing a muzzle velocity shift that is within the standard deviation that the rifle experiences without the suppressor. So for that, you can run the same dope card pretty much no matter what. Now, if you do run into a situation where the suppressor is causing a shift, if it's causing a very minor shift, then you can just make sure you note that minor shift and you can just slip your turrets when you go back and forth so that you are zeroing out the shift. Now, I would make sure that you're starting a match with your turret zeroed. I wouldn't try to compute a zero shift. If you wanted to compute a zero shift, certain ballistic calculators like the Kestrel do have the ability to put a zero shift in to the range card or into the actual gun profile. And so that way you can have a gun profile for suppressed and a gun profile for unsuppressed and switch back and forth. But me, I would rather just keep one gun profile because you've trued it for the muzzle velocity. You've trued it for that bullet. You've built that whole profile. I would just slip the turrets going back and forth. And next, Kara asks, is there a Begara B14R video coming? And if so, any idea when? Yes, we are creeping up on 1,000 rounds through the B-14R that Bagara sent out to us to get our opinion on. And so far, it has worked really, really well. I won a local match with it. It has continued to really impress me. It seems to like Centerax ammunition very well, although, interestingly enough, I found SK Standard shoots very, very well through it and is actually cheaper than the Centerax. So that was a little bit of an eye-opener. But we shot quite a few different types of ammunition through it. We've gathered a good deal of information on it, and really it has become one of my favorite 22s to take out and shoot. And the fact that it is a really reasonably priced rifle for what it is really is the topping on the cake. So I hope to be able to get that review out probably within the next week or two. That's it for the questions. Now we're going to talk about this project that is spread out on the table in front of me. First of all, I'll talk about, you guys have seen this a couple of times. This is the Modular Driven Technologies ACC chassis. Again, we are sponsored by MDT. So they were nice enough to send this chassis out to us after they released the production version. I have been shooting with this chassis, mainly on a Remington 700 with an IBI 6.5 Creedmoor barrel on it. And it's worked really, really well. This has become one of my favorite chassis just due to the customization that is available through the chassis. You've got your fully adjustable buttstock here. You've got an adjustable pistol grip where you can adjust the reach to the trigger. We've got these really nice thumb shelves here. I like the contour of the magwell because it's high sides here. Mag release is reachable with my trigger finger, or I can come back and hit it with my thumbs. It's ambidextrous, and it extends to the sides of the trigger guard, not below, so I don't have to worry about hooking it on an obstacle and dropping a mag, which I have done on other chassis in the past. It's got a nice serrated mag fence up here, which works great when you drive it into barricades or you drive it into a bag. And then we've got the ability to tune the weights on the rifle. Now, I don't have any internal weights on it, but I can put internal weights. I've got 6 external weights on it right now, which with the previous rig allowed me to balance just in front of the magwell with optics and everything set up on it. This one, you notice we also have a Hoptic USA quiver on here. This is just a really cool guide that allows me to keep 2 rounds on the side of the gun. And while I've done some of the elastic 2-round holders before, the thing I really like about the Hoptic quivers, it protects the front of the rounds. So when you slide it against a barricade or bump something against it, it doesn't eject your cartridges out. You can hit the front edge of this quiver on something and your cartridges stay secured inside the quiver. So really nice on that setup. So basically, I just pulled this off of the 700 and will be reusing this for this project. The heart of the project is the Terminus Zeus Action. The Terminus Zeus Action really interested me because it is a switch barrel design. Now, you can get it without the switch barrel. This is the switch barrel version. And it is designed for the barrels to be screwed in hand tight. So since we don't have to use barrel wrenches, we don't have to use action wrenches or any of that stuff, what it means is I can basically keep the whole rifle assembled with the optic mounted. All I have to do is loosen these little set screws on either side here, unscrew the barrel by hand, screw the new barrel in, torque it down by hand so as tight as I can get it just with my hands, and then tighten these set screws to torque setting, and we're ready to go. Terminus advertises that the return to zero is excellent on this rifle, so we will definitely be testing that, removing and reinstalling the barrel and seeing what kind of zero shift we get. But they were also nice enough, in addition to sending us the 308 bolt face, they sent us a 223 bolt. So we will be installing a 6 Creedmoor barrel. So something that is a little bit fast. It's pretty high performance, but you don't want to just go out plinking with it because you're running down your barrel life. And then the 223 barrel, because if you're going to go out and you're just going to practice shooting your rifle off of barricades, etc., then you don't really need the high performance Of the 6mm, you can use something that is going to give you longer barrel life, that is going to give you cheaper ammunition, and you just need something that's going to tell you when a hit and a miss is a miss. You don't need something that you have to gauge wind and calculate the ballistics for long range targets. You can decide to run a barricade stage with a reduced size 100 or 200 yard target, and a 223 is just going to be perfect for that. We're not going to have a massive recoil difference between a 6mm Creedmoor and a 223 when we put it in a heavy chassis, again, with a M24 profile barrel on it. And both barrels are going to be the same profile and the same length. We're waiting on the 223 barrel to show up, but IBI did us a real solid by turning out these barrels for the Zeus action. So the idea is I can keep the gun dialed in with the 6mm barrel on it, go to the range with the 223 barrel, unscrew the 6mm barrel, screw the 223 barrel on, drop the 223 bolt in the gun, shoot 223 all day, and then swap the 6mm barrel back in it before I go home. So it sits at home in match mode, but we can put it in training mode immediately when we go to the range to shoot it. And if the return to zero is as good as advertised, then it's going to be as simple as looking in the data book, slipping the turrets on your scope between the 6mm and 223 and driving on. If we're really lucky, the 6mm and the 223 will have the same zero, but that is almost too much to hope for right out of the gate, but we'll see. Optics, that I'm not sure of yet. Scope rail is easy because the Terminus already comes with a rail built into the action. It's integral to the action itself. Triggers, Trigger Tech was nice enough to send out a Diamond 2-stage, so we'll be putting that into it. Just various different things. We've got MDT SkyPod here that we'll be using on this rig. Again, haven't really decided what scope we're going to put on it yet. Depending upon how things zero out, you kind of want something that there's not a ton of wear and tear when you change the zero back and forth. Some scope designs that use set screws that screw into brass stems, when you change back and forth zeros all the time, you're putting a lot of wear on that stem. You can actually take the outer turret off and you can see the indents in the stem that the set screws are putting. So for something like this, something with a spline turret may be a better option, but again, that's up in the air. You'll have to watch the full series before we figure out what we're going to put on there. But that is the basic parts that are going to go into this project. I'm really excited to get it started, so we're going to see where it goes from there. And that's going to do it for this Mail Call Mondays. If you guys have any questions over anything we've covered, please drop it in the comment section down below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And make sure you click that little bell icon so you get notified when we release new content. YouTube has been playing their little hijinks lately, so a lot of you guys that are subscribed are still not getting content showed up in your feed. So click that little bell icon down there so you actually get notified when we release new content. And until next time, get out and shoot.